The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Does it settle in your soul, partner?
It does. It do. Always. Yes, well, sir.
This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Well, and we're here with our producer, Liam.
Liam.
Good morning.
And this is Jefferson State of Mind.
Mine.
We're broadcasting live in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, or you can listen to it because we stream live on KCNR1460.com. That is KCNR1460.com. We have a call. We have our caller on.
And we understand that chat room is not working. Is that correct, Liam?
I believe we have gotten rid of it, maybe.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Well,
no more BS on the chat room. That's good.
Okay.
Unfortunate,
well,
but good.
We do have our guest who's calling in. It is Dr. Douglas Frank. Doctor, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
How's it going where you are?
I'm in Ohio.
Oh.
a lot better here than in Florida.
Or even California. So you're doing much better.
Anyway, exactly. I'm going to save you a little time so you don't have to sing your own praises here. So I'll just read them off really quick. Dr. Douglas Frank is a Nobel Prize nominee. He's a physicist, a chemist, a mathematician. He's a minister. He was featured on Mike Lindell's Cyber Symposium, and Dr. Frank is a nationally known election fraud expert investigator. He has been an expert witness in several voter fraud state investigations. And I thank you, Dr. Frank, for everything you do. And I'm going to sing one more accolade for you. I'll just say it because I usually sing in the key of L, which won't really work. And that is that Dr. Frank has been working with a lot of counties. I believe you've been in 40-something states. He has helped many, many local people and actually dives in to help them locally when investigating anomalies or some may say fraud in different elections, even local elections. And he does this without pay. He does this with only expenses being paid. And I want to sort of put that out there right away because we have a lot of people that are patriots, P-A-Y-triots, and Doug is not one of those. So, my friend, it's your party. What say you?
Well, that was very sweet of you to say. It's true that I am not paid for my work. What inspired me to do that, you know, originally, I mean, I've basically been volunteering since the beginning of COVID. But originally, I was assuming that I would be, you know, going around the country and being paid for my consulting services, right? I mean, that's what you typically do. But I met Mike Lindell, and he featured me in his movies and then his documentaries. And then as I got to know Mike, I learned that everything he does, he pays for out of his own money. And, you know, people think, well, he's using his corporate money. No. Everything he does is out of his personal funds. And, you know, the way he explains it, he says, look, I'm either going to spend it now or they're going to take it away from me later. And when I first learned that about him, it was like, well, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do that? And so ever since I've, you know, got involved in this, I've let people on the ground pay for what I do, And I think there's another advantage to that. The first advantage is obviously I'm not a grifter, right? I'm not out here for the money. People know that. The second thing is that when people realize they're bringing me to town, they got to raise a little money for that. So that's why they'll charge like $10 or $15 a ticket to come to the event. That's not to make a profit. That's so they can pay for the venue and pay for my plane ticket. And what happens is there's some emotional thing. It's a human nature thing. They have skin in the game now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the locals take responsibility, and they take more responsibility. You know, it's just human nature. You take it for granted. If somebody gives you something, you don't appreciate it. But if you earn it yourself, you take it more seriously. So since my work is focused at the grassroots level, having people willing to step up and invest their lives and their resources and their time, it sort of filters out the people that are really working when I do it that way, too. And I didn't start out thinking about all that stuff. I kind of learned it as I went, that the teams that are really accomplishing a lot are the teams that are investing their own time. And, dude, if they're bringing Dr. Frank in, they better raise a little money to pay for the ticket. And so, you know, let's not just treat this casually. We better promote it properly, and we better get the grassroots motivated. So it's like it's a mutually stimulating, mutually reinforcing situation. So anyway, that's really all I really need to say about the money. But people need to know, you know, I'm always asked that by the media. They're always trying to paint me as some, you know, tool of Mike Lindell or tool of Donald Trump or something. But no, they don't pay me to do this. And this is me being a patriot. So I appreciate that question.
So they're trying to paint you into the corner like, you know, the Clintons, you know, when Bill Clinton earns $500,000 for a 45-minute speech. That's the avenue that they want to take you down, but they're unable to get you to go down that because you're not doing that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, even when I was testifying there in Reading,
yes,
you noticed that lady, I don't even remember her name. I don't know.
It was Mary Rickard. She was one of the supervisors who was very disrespectful. Yeah. I don't even know what to say about the remarks she made, but go ahead, sir.
We apologize on her behalf because she would never do that.
Unbelievable, you know, to...
Well, I've experienced a lot worse, so don't take it personal, but, you know, that poor woman, she needs to be in therapy.
Well, that's agreed.
She's got the worst chip on her shoulder I've seen in years. And, you know, that's a personal problem that she has. She shouldn't be in public... You know, we all have personal issues, right? And so there are no perfect politicians because we all have personal issues. But, you know, she wears it so openly on her shoulders that how could she possibly be a public servant? She needs to retire from public service, go get some therapy, and then maybe later she can serve again. I mean, it was blatantly obvious.
Well, we've been living with that for quite a while, so we're in agreement.
Well,
yeah, but we're fixing to change that.
So, you know, I say that not to be mean to her, but just to point out to you that it's hard for me to feel offended by somebody who has issues like that. I mean, it's easy for me to just discount them.
Now,
if this is an intelligent person taking me on and attacking my position and insulting me or something, okay, then, you know, maybe I'd have to take it more seriously. But it was easy for me to just kind of discount her position.
Well, it had nothing to do with your issues. It had everything to do with her just trying to personally discredit you. But
exactly.
And, you know, that's really something. But I kind of want to get to what happened to you. You and your friend Mike Lindell both had your phones taken by the FBI. Apparently, Mr. Lindell isn't even going to get his back. What exactly happened to you that you feel free to talk about? Because that's just another egregious offense against our government in trying to usurp our constitutionally protected rights.
Yeah, well, what this is all about, I mean, they had a warrant. In fact, it was coming back from my trip when I was out there with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I got off the plane and went to the potty, because that's what you do when you get off the plane. And then as I came out, there were two guys walking up to me, and I looked at them, and they looked at me, and I smiled, and they smiled back, and it was one of these, I know that they know that I know that they know they're going to take my phone. How did I know that? How did I know that? Well, because the day before, you know, they met Mike at the Hardee's, you know, coming back from his hunting trip.
In the drive-thru.
They were basically correcting. I mean, in the drive-thru, exactly, and they took his phone, and, you know, you got to hand it to Mike. You know, he handled the situation gracefully, and he witnessed to the guys. and so I was thinking about that as I saw these guys and thinking, how am I going to explain this? But they sort of took care of it for me. It was about a 20-minute thing. They were very courteous. They're field agents out from Northern Kentucky. And, you know, they came up to me, and obviously I knew what was happening. And we smiled, and I shook their hand and introduced myself. And they showed me their ID and everything, and they showed me the warrant. The warrant gave them permission to search my person if I didn't relinquish my cell phone. So there's no reason for us to be, you know, mean or violent. These guys are, they don't even know what they're doing. They're just following orders, right? So the beautiful thing is, they take my phone and I sign all the property forms and everything, and they say, now what we're going to do is we're going to do a forensic image of this phone and then give it back to you. And I just thought, oh, funny you should mention that. Because that's exactly what this is all about, is that the reason why I'm involved in this and the reason why Mike is involved in this is because back in April of 2021, I met in Colorado with Tina Peters in her office. And she was already beginning to question her elections, and so was Sharona Bishop, the local gal there, America's Mom, who I had already known because we had done work together getting their churches open during COVID. And so we were, you know, I while I was there teaching the grassroots there how to do canvassing, just very similarly to what I've been doing there in Reading with your team. You have some great folks there.
We do.
In fact, you have one of the best teams I've seen across the nation. Very motivated, highly effective. Your county has got an interesting future ahead because they are going to uncover so much fraud. They've already begun uncovering it, which we can get to later in the call. But that they're a great team. So what was I saying before I got distracted by those beautiful people?
You were talking about the FBI and how they're going to be taking your phone.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what would happen is I sat down with her in her office, and she was already doubting her election, but she was still not sure, right? And she was most clerks around the country don't realize this is happening to them. It's happening right under their noses, and they don't even know it. So I spent a lot of my time just teaching them. And so I was sitting there teaching Tina Peters one thing after another and explaining things, and she was like, well, you know, and she wasn't quite convinced.
Mm-hmm.
So finally I get to this stage where I say, well, you know, what about these 2,000 dead people who voted in your election? And she's like, what? I said, yeah, here are a bunch of dead people that voted in your election here in Mesa County. She says, that can't be. I'm like, why do you think that? She says, well, because we use signature verification, and we use people to actually examine the signatures. We don't trust the machines. Think about that. She says she doesn't. So we use people to do the signature verification, and dead people couldn't vote because we would catch the signatures. And I said, well, those dead people, they obviously have really good lung hand. Thanks for laughing. So anyway, she brought her head person in the county in charge of training all the volunteers who do the signature verification. And if you've ever talked to these people, if you've ever gone down to election offices and talked to these people, they've got this dog and pony show they give you. And unfortunately, because I've met with so many, I've had to listen to this over and over and over again. But, you know, I do that because if I don't do that, then they won't listen to me. So, out of courteous, I have to listen to it. So here's this person explaining to me how they train their people to do signature verification. She says, oh, yeah. She says, we train twice as many people as we think we need because we know that people fatigue after looking at signature after signature. She says, in fact, we monitor it closely. She says that if anyone starts rejecting too many signatures, we replace them right away.
Hmm. Interesting.
Unbelievable.
That's exactly what she said. And when she said that, I kind of looked over at Tina, and Tina looked over at me, and we excused her from the room. And then Tina looked at me and said, okay, I get it. All right, so we've got an issue here. Yes, yes. So what do I do? How do I address this? And I said, well, this was April of 2021, and they were having an election coming up in May of 2021. And I said, well, look, at the minimum, I said, while you're becoming convinced that there's fraud in your election, definitely you need to back everything up before your next election because, you know, it's all going to get deleted. You don't want to lose it. And she's like, well, how do I do that? And this is super important. And the reason I'm telling the story in the detail I am is because people don't understand this. This is super important to understand. Our clerks don't know how to do their own equipment. They don't know how to run their own equipment. They don't know how to do backups. They don't really know how to run it. They just have a set of tasks they're supposed to complete. And whenever they get lost, they call the vendors. In other words, we've created a system that's so complicated that our own government officials don't know how to work it. They don't understand it. They don't understand their vulnerabilities. They don't understand the porosity. Oh, my goodness, I got to tell you about the Oregon case. Don't forget to talk about that.
Nope.
Anyway, they don't understand their own system. So I had to start explaining to her how to back everything up on her system. So then she tries to get the IT people in her own county to back up her systems, and they refuse. So the ironic thing about that is that the Secretary of State had just sent her a letter telling all the clerks in the state to back up their system. None of them do it, essentially, because none of them know how.
Yep.
So why would the IT of the county refuse to back up the system?
The two reasons. One, they don't have the equipment they need to do it. And two, they don't have the technical expertise. And so three, it's kind of a touchy thing to meddle, because everybody's terrified to touch the machines because of certification issues, which, by the way, their machines were out of certification anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all afraid to touch them. So anyway, so I put her in touch with some people. Actually, I didn't do that at first. At first, I said, well, you know, contact a local computer store, you know, a local, you know, like a Micro Center or something. There'll be a local computer maintenance store that has the equipment to do this, and they'll be able to back it up. And that was what she tried at first, but they didn't even have the right equipment. So I eventually connected her to some people because I was recently on the Lindell team working on stuff with them. And I had met some people, so I put her in contact with people, and they did backups. And the kind of backups they did were not just, you know, like you backing up your files onto your flash drive or something. They did what's called a forensic backup.
Yes.
Which means they back up every bit and byte on the machine. Before, during, and after their election, they did backups. So we have a complete record of everything that the vendors did to her machines and what was going on in her election.
Now, shouldn't that happen at every clerk's office? Shouldn't that happen without fail anyway?
Well said. That's exactly true, especially given the federal requirement that at the minimum they're supposed to keep their records for 22 months. Federal law requires it.
So they can't destroy them. They can't destroy them before 22 months, but they certainly don't have to destroy them at all. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
And I think it's a may, not shall.
Exactly. And there's no reason for them to do that. Many states around the country have passed, the legislature has set up and said, okay, there's obviously a lot of issues around the 2020 election, so we're going to double the amount of time, make it 44 months. There's no reason to require your clerks to delete the information.
Well, ours was chomping at the bit that she couldn't wait to get rid of them.
Exactly, because it covers up a lot of the evidence. Of course, we already have the evidence we need, but it's more evidence.
Okay.
So we good questions. So we got those backups, and they turn out to be really important. They show around the country, you know, the same systems were being used all over the country, and we proved that the system was manipulating the election. So it turns out to be a really important thing. Now, the thing about it is the Secretary of State was going around in Colorado telling everybody, yeah, this is just a routine thing. We do this every year, blah, blah, blah. Except, since we have the before, during, and after backups, we can see this was not a normal backup. This was like a bleach bit backup, like what Hillary Clinton did.
Yeah.
They completely destroyed all past records first, before they installed the new system. And the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, was saying, yeah, we do this regularly every year. Uh-uh. The previous backup, before that Dominion came in, showed 5 years of all their records still on the machine. So, no, they don't routinely delete everything before they put in the new stuff. So, no, it was not a routine backup. This was a whitewash going on across the country. And several places around the country, forensic backups were done this time because everybody became aware how important it was to capture that evidence. So anyway, so when the FBI agent said to me, yeah, we're going to do a forensic backup of your phone, I just had to laugh. And then I got the chance to explain to them what the case was about. They didn't even know what the case was about. Of course, since I had just started working with Mike Lindell, and he was, you know, in these lawsuits with Dominion, and I had been retained by his attorney to do some consulting. It's the only money I ever, you know, took as pay that way. I immediately called him up and said, hey, here's a Dominion system, and you're being sued by Dominion. So here's important access. And that's why Michael Lindell got involved. And then later, when Tina Peters came out, he didn't even know who she was at that point. He didn't probably even know about the situation until Tina Peters came out later at the Cyber Symposium in August. That's so Michael said that's the first time he ever met her or even heard of her.
Okay. And now, you mentioned
stuff around the country.
You mentioned a moment ago to not forget about the Oregon case. Can you go back to that?
And we have about 4 minutes to the break.
Okay. Well, yeah. The reason I mentioned the Oregon case is I just testified there. And it was a two-day case, and I was an expert witness in it. On the first day, the prosecution was arguing why certain records shouldn't be released to the public. And on the second day, we were arguing why we should release it to the public. But the first day, they had this clerk in. She's been there for 33 years. And the reason I thought of it was because, and we can come back to this after the break, too, if you'd like, is there's a lot happened in that case.
Yeah, go for it.
But the reason why it was important is, she admitted to everybody, one of the things that they were saying, well, our systems are so secure because we have them, quote unquote, air gapped. And, you know, except that the scanners they're using behind their, quote unquote, air gap each have a Dell laptop sitting on top of them.
Hmm.
A regular off the shelf Dell laptop with modems in them behind their air gap. And so I was coaching the attorney, and I told him to ask her, you know, gee, can you turn the modems on those laptops? And from the witness stand, she said, yes, she could. It was two screens down, and she didn't even need a password. And so this is why, I mean, to think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
She's a lovely elderly lady. She's retired this year. And she doesn't understand these systems. She doesn't realize what she just told the world. That's my point. Our clerks are not IT people. Our clerks are trying to manage these very complicated systems, and they don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know, I think we're going to go off to the break. We're going to probably go to that early, only because I want to make sure we can finish this up without any interruption at all. And what I'd like to do is, when we get back, if you feel you want to expound on the Oregon case, that'd be great, Doug. But I really want to ask you about the Shasta County evidence that you can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I really would like to ask you on the FBI, when they took your phone, what specifically was on that warrant. And I think the main thing maybe we all need to understand is that, you know, really and truly, the Constitution is just a piece of paper unless we use it. And I think we have something other than lawsuits to go after these people with. But anyway, we will get back from the break here in just a minute.
Sure.
Okay, my friend.
I'll get the data up.
There you go.
All right, my friend. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Jump so high.
Join us
us at Wind River Resort and Casino to see the award-winning Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band remains one of the most accomplished bands in American roots music.
You and me go fishing in the dark.
This high-energy show will fill the event center Friday, October 7th. Tickets start at $30.
Must be 21 to attend.
Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Douglas Frank, and we are going to head right back into this last half hour of our program without any interruption. And Doug, a couple of questions, two things I'd really like to get into. First of all, if you have anything more on the Oregon case you want to add, feel free to do that. Second of all,
I think we did that pretty well.
Okay, good.
I'd like to know if there was anything specific on the FBI warrant. And the other question is, and I'd like to get into it in depth a bit, what you can tell us about the evidence of misdoing, dare I say fraud, in Shasta County. So the first thing is, was the FBI specific on your warrant?
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, since they had taken Mike's phone and
right.
he had complied, I just kind of followed his lead, you know. And then I spoke with the attorneys afterwards, and I think I don't think I did anything wrong by complying. I mean, they had a warrant; they could have, you know, forced me to give it to them anyway. So, you know, why would I want to do that? So, and the warrant it's issued from a federal court in Colorado, because I guess this is worth saying. This is super important, I guess. People don't understand this. What's supposed to be happening in our elections is they're supposed to be locally controlled. Why? Because you can police a locally controlled election. You can't police an election controlled from some, you know, other place in the world. You need to be able to control it yourself locally. You need to be able to know everybody who's voting. You need to be able to make sure they're real. You need to make sure the ballots are proper chain of custody is maintained on the ballots, et cetera, et cetera. All that stuff has to be locally controlled. And the way that our counties are functioning around the country, the federal government in 2002 established something called the CISA, the Center for Internet Security Administration. And, you know, it's the old rule, when the government comes to help you, you run. Well, they installed on nearly every county in the country a system called the Albert sensors. You can look it up, CISA. Go to the look up the Albert sensors. Basically, what they're supposed to be doing is protecting all of the counties from malware. And you know they come in and they say, hey County X, or hey Shasta County, let us put this sensor on your county system, And then that way, if you get attacked by malware, we'll detect it for you and let you know. Except all over the country, malware is getting into these systems all over the country through the Albert sensors.
Oh, geez.
Because they're back doors, and they've been hacked for a decade already. Why is this important? Well, because since the federal government has its fingers in every county election, now all these election cases can be escalated to federal cases because there are national security issues at hand. Because the national infrastructure, the national security, homeland security infrastructure has been exposed. Because that's what was used to hack our election in 2020.
All the elections.
Every single county in the country.
So we're talking 3,616 or whatever the magic number is, 3,600 counties in the country.
Yeah, it's like 3,240 or something like that.
Oh, it's 32. Okay,
every
sorry.
Every single county. And that's why when Mike Lindell first came out and said he had all these recordings of all this internet activity going on, hacking into our machines, he wasn't lying. I've seen a lot of that. It's real. And it's through, and the problem is he can't just put it out in public because it exposes all the national infrastructure, exposes some national security issues.
It also, so, it also loosened the bowels of the government.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's why this has become a federal case now, because it's exposed in Colorado that their machines were hacked.
Mm-hmm.
And guess how they were hacked,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, anyway, that's why it's become a federal case now. And so,
nobody
is safe anywhere in the country who's connected to this stuff.
So then how does the judge from Colorado sign off on a warrant for you? You don't live in Colorado.
Right, but it's a federal case.
Okay.
And I was involved.
Yeah,
I'm a material witness.
Right.
You know, I was involved in this.
Okay, all right.
And then, Mike became involved in this later.
Was this was it the same judge that signed off on both of your warrants, on yours and Lindell's?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Patterns. We have patterns here. Interesting. So
yeah,
they went.
Oh yeah, and this is all about persecuting Tina Peters in Colorado. This is not. I'm telling you, in the end, this is going to be a big. The case has no merit. She has done exactly what she was supposed to do. In fact, the lawsuit against her is for "quote unquote" identity theft. That's the lawsuit. She stole somebody's identity to do this job.
Wow.
That's what the lawsuit's about. So it's not. It's sort of like, you know, getting Al Capone on tax evasion, right? They can't even get her on what she actually did, because what she actually did, she was perfectly authorized to do. So,
wow.
Anyways, this is all about persecuting her. And probably what will happen is they'll just make her life miserable. And I got to tell you, as I've been talking to other clerks around the country, they're all terrified.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
Because they're afraid it'll happen to them. You know, we don't want what happened to Tina Peters to happen to us. So you've got all these clerks who know there's fraud, because I've met with them and helped them discover it themselves, who are afraid to say anything or stand up because then Tina Peters will be done unto them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
so how about that? That explains that, I think.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Very well. So in Shasta County,
yes.
What were the anomalies you found that you can speak on?
Well, I like the term anomaly, but I don't like it in the term in the situation of election fraud. Let me tell you why.
Well, we've been lectured on not saying election fraud here for some reason. Can we say it now? Are you going to give us permission, Doc?
Please do. Please
Do. Fraud.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason I don't like it is because the rolls, the voter rolls around the country are hugely dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of these cyber warriors do is they run in, they analyze the rolls like crazy, and they find all these anomalies. And they think they've exposed tons of fraud. They haven't exposed tons of fraud. All they've done is found that the rolls are super dirty. And nobody denies it, even the clerk. So what happens is the real important argument, the fact that there's too much fraud in your elections, gets disguised by the fact that the voter rolls are dirty and there are all these anomalies in them. So I don't even like talking about the anomalies. I like talking about the fraud. Now, we can use the anomalies to find the fraud. Perfectly fine with that. And that's what's happening. By the way, your state's about to go, you know, radioactive, because we've got people canvassing in like 20 counties now in California. And we've got multiple sheriffs coming online. Here's how it works. I give lists of the roles to people in the state and at the county level. They go over it. I teach them how to do it, how to use, you know, I give them some software and some tools and connect them to some people that help them do other things. And then they go out canvassing and they confirm with their own eyes and their own hands and feet the fraud in their own communities, because the fix is local. What do I mean by that? Well, around the country, we've had plenty of evidence since 2020. Since December of 2020, Trump had all the evidence he needed that the election was fraudulent in his hand. This has never been about evidence. This is about the people don't understand what's happened to them, and everybody thinks it's somewhere else. And once they learn that it's in their own community, now we're activating the local troops. And since the fix is local, that's why this is so important.
And it's funny you say that. It's funny you say that, because we have people out there that are doing exactly that. They're doing the canvassing, and then they're being made out to be the criminals here locally. And our Registrar of Voters is going to be holding a webinar tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. And she's going to hold a webinar so she can kind of perpetuate that. Yeah, hey, quote unquote, there's no fraud here.
She's called. She's actually went to the paper. I did an article in our local paper,
because we know that's a conservative paper. Yeah.
And but the point is that she's calling on the government to investigate, and for the sheriff to look into our sheriff, who's not a constitutional sheriff, our sheriff to look into these people, saying that they were intimidating people and intimidating
voters.
Are you sure
about that? Are you sure about him not being a constitutional
sheriff? Yeah, I'm positive about it.
Yeah.
I am absolutely positive about it, and I'll call you and we'll talk about that. Absolutely a million trillion percent.
Yeah, let's talk about that on the radio, but I think I've got some information for you. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, good.
So anyway, what happens is, like, for example, recently in Fresno, a team went out and did canvassing, and in one short afternoon with, like, 20 people, couple of hours in one afternoon, they came up with 20 fraudulent ballots. What do I mean by that? Well, if someone is dead, but you have a ballot from them, that obviously is a fraudulent ballot. If somebody moved away years ago and is voting in another state, but yet you're getting ballots from them in your county, that's a fraudulent ballot. If someone will swear an affidavit that they didn't vote, yet you have a ballot from them recorded in your record, that's a fraudulent ballot. Those are fraud, right? This is not an anomaly. This is a clerical error. It's fraud. And what we gathered up a bunch of these, and we're doing, we're working with several sheriffs now in California, and they've confirmed what we found, and the clerks have had to confirm what we found. It was a beautiful thing. We were showing them this evidence. And, like, the first dead voter we brought up died in 2006, but voted in the last four elections.
Oh.
So, in other words, they die, then they don't vote for several years, five, six, 7 years, and then suddenly they start voting again. How does that happen? It happens because the people that are cheaters find people who aren't voting and use their names to stuff ballots. So that's why this happens. So we presented several dead voters to them. We presented several phantom voters, people who aren't really voting, who you have ballots from, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a real eye-opener to these clerks, because they think their elections are secure, and here we are showing them they're not. In fact, it's systemic. It's not just, you know, grandma voted for dead grandpa. It's not just one-off. This is a huge systemic problem, like 10% plus in the state of California.
Wow, 10%.
So one of the ways I help people understand that is what I showed data in Shasta. So, for example, in Shasta, your voter rolls are growing way faster than your population trend. Now, think about that. You're adding people to your rolls faster than your population is growing. Why would you do that? Well, because why is that advantageous to the bad guys? Well, because there's no way those names are real. It's adding a whole bunch of names to the rolls who are not real voters. Or another way this can happen is when people move away, you don't take them out of the rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Or when people die, you don't take them out of the rolls. Mm-hmm. And so then as people are moving in and registering, the rolls are just growing faster and faster. But the rate of growth is faster than your population growth, too. So that is just a huge red flag. And I'm always looking for simple ways to explain this to people so that they can understand. So the first thing is, your rolls are growing faster than your population. In fact, in Redding, in Shasta County, which Redding is in Shasta County, you have 22,000 more people in your rolls than is justified by your population growth. And in context, that's about 1 in 5 of the people in your rolls shouldn't be in your rolls. 1 in 5.
Wow. Now, okay? These people that are all this information here, and I want to get back to the sheriff here, because does the sheriff of the county have the jurisdiction to go to the county clerk and go to the ROV office and say, you know, hey, this is what's going on. This, I need to see this information. I'm investigating this information. Does the sheriff have the jurisdiction to do that? And is that where you go? And you did say that you thought we had a sheriff, which both my partner and I know quite well, that actually would be doing this if he had the jurisdiction, because we haven't heard a peep. So maybe you can kind of enlighten us.
Yeah, let's talk about that off air.
Okay.
We don't tip our hand.
I got you.
There you go.
I got you, brother. Okay, so anyway, getting back to this this list of illegal voters, that's incredible that
1 in 5.
And 22,000 more.
22,000, 1 in 5.
Yeah, you've got something like 110,000 people total.
That's crazy. Roles.
And so 22,000 of them shouldn't be there.
Gotcha.
That's a big credit line of phantom voters, isn't it?
That's another whole district in our county which has five supervisor districts. That would be another whole district of those.
Yeah.
Imagine
22,000. If I gave you 20,000 ballots, you could spend however you wanted.
Yeah.
Control every election in your county.
Yeah, you could really do some landslide shenanigans, kind of like our last election that was held in June.
Yeah, you could start out with 22,000 votes right off the get-go.
There you go.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
That isn't usually the way it's done. This is why the machines are important, because the machines report who's voted and what the tallies are.
Right.
And so that's why having the machines online make it easier to cheat, because you wouldn't want to use all 22,000 of those phantom voters unless you had to, because, you know, it's easier. The more you cheat, the easier it is to find. So they cheat the minimum necessary.
They sprinkle them throughout the county, right? I mean, it's not
exactly.
Like, it's not just concentrated in one area. They massage
the
areas.
And that's why. Yeah, you got it. You get it.
Okay, so they're going
to
massage the elections.
No,
that's okay. I'm sorry. I'm doing the same thing. Sorry about that. They're massaging the votes that they think they need to get and retain and maintain so that they can stay in control, so that the other guy, gal, whoever may be coming up, doesn't knock them off their pedestal.
Yes, and this is one of the things that I try to teach people across the country. Everybody thinks this is about Trump and Biden. No, this is about your mayor. This is about your school board. This is about your sheriff. This is about your local offices are being taken over all over the country.
Your DA.
And that's the way you take over a country.
Your DA, your registrar of voters. Of that, yeah.
Yes, and that is almost more important than who's the president, because that's how they're taking over the country. Sorry, I just need
to... Well, I think that's a great point, because the way we're going to win this thing back is to go locally first, then the state, then the Fed. And I think that the awakening that we had in Shasta County over the recall of Leonard Modi was something that really woke up a lot of California and, frankly, a lot of places in America, because a lot of the people you talked about, what a great group of people we have, you know, in Shasta County that are out there working hard. The beautiful thing about that, Doug, is that those people are – you know, in their 30s and 40s. They're young people. They're young families that are doing this sort of thing, which is absolutely incredible.
Wonderful, yes.
So, you know, I think it's super important. Think about this. You know, Mike Lindell uses this metaphor. He says if somebody accused him of having rocks and knives in his pillows, he would just open them up and show them the patented bill. You know, that's what he would say. I think her last name's Darling.
Yep, Darling Allen, yep.
Your clerk is going out of her way to cover up everything and hide everything.
Yep.
That alone, that is not the behavior of somebody who is honest and wants transparency. That's the behavior of somebody who's trying to cover up something.
Well, keep in mind. Her election by looking at the numbers, the way they fell out on in June, and the way they rolled through, she won by, according to all oddities, if you will, it was like 70-some percent over the incumbent or over the challenger, which was eye-opening. Given this is supposed to be a red county, which it is,
right?
She's a Democrat.
Yeah.
How does that work? And all that was put out in the media.
Now think about that. You have a person in charge of the election who's on the ballot.
Yes.
That's about as much of a conflict as it gets right there.
Well, we tried.
We tried. We pointed that out left and right. Oh, my gosh. Like crazy. Yeah.
We got her on a couple of things where she tried to stop people from being either poll watchers or observers because of their political views, which is against the law. And in a phone call I had with her, I pointed that out. Her comment to me was, do I need a lawyer? And I said, I don't know. Do you? And she immediately let those people do those specific roles. Because a lot of times what we do is we throw a lawsuit at somebody rather than throwing the law at them. And I think that's something where we have to start going more that way, as we both know, as we all know. When we have a lawsuit against the government especially, they use our money to fight us, and we use our money
to fight them.
To fight us.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think there's something I've kind of learned how to get at the clerks, and this is how you do it. You just go to them and you say, please give us a list of everybody who voted in the 2020 election. That's a really simple question, right? I mean, you would think of all the tasks that the clerk does do, you would think they would be able to give you a list of everybody who voted, yes?
Yes.
But if you do that for the 2020 election, the list that she will give you is missing 3,753 voters.
Wow.
3,753 voters. How do I know that? Because the Secretary of State has an official report with the number in it that has 3,753 more voters in that number. And that came from your local clerk. So your local clerk reported more voters than she's giving you now. So you can simply say, who are these other people? And when you do ask them, the first answer they give you is, oh, that's normal, and they give all sorts of excuses. And you just have to keep pressing. And at one, finally, you know, because we're running out of time, finally when you get to the end of that discussion, they admit they don't know and they can't tell you who those people are. In other words, the clerks eventually deflect and say, it's not up to us, the state's doing this. That is where the county needs to be. That's where we need to bring the public. The public needs to understand the state is in control, and the state is manipulating your election. You are not in control of your own election. So even though you're a red county, it's a blue state, maybe.
Yes,
but
it definitely
blue
is.
People, but the blue people are in charge. And they are manipulating your election. And that's the other anomaly that I showed you guys. I can predict in Shasta County the number of people of every age who voted between 18 and 100 to ridiculous part per 10 million accuracy, 0.999 correlation coefficient. I can tell you the number of Republicans in every precinct who vote. I can predict it. How could I predict it? Because it's manipulated. It's not a natural phenomenon. And that is the point. Your elections are being manipulated in Shasta County. So I could show all the statistics, you know, until the cows come home. But what really pays off is when the people go knock on the doors and find the dead voters and find the phantom voters, because that's the real fraud, and there ain't no way out of that. So anyway, so the trend goes, I come into town, I show everybody the anomalies, I show them how to find the phantom voters, they find the phantom voters, we expose the clerks, we try to get the sheriffs involved to investigate, and then we go to court, and we try to get the judges to file injunctions against using machines.
Yes.
Because our sacred right to vote is being disenfranchised from us by the fact that we're connected into the state system. The state system is exposing you to external fraud. Therefore, you should not have to use the state system. It's like if the state says, well, you're not allowed to lock your door at night, but every night somebody's breaking into your house and stealing your stuff. that's not okay. You're going to start locking your door and defending yourself. And if the state says, sorry, you're not allowed to lock your door, you're going to say, jump in the lake. Come on, sheriff, let's protect my house. That's the same thing going on with our elections. You need your sheriff to step in, to interpose himself between the county and the state and say, our elections are being stolen from us. We're not putting up with it anymore.
Well, doesn't the Board of Supervisors have to grow a pair and do the same thing?
Yeah. They will only grow a pair when the community grows a pair. And your community is on fire. And that's why it's so important to have a grassroots effort and why I'm so excited about Shasta County in particular, because you have a great team, a great grassroots team that's really pounding the pavement. And, you know, I've learned across the country, you can't just have me smarty pants coming in and telling everybody what's going on. Nothing will happen. That's why I spend so much time with the grassroots, because I realize that around the country, that's where we're winning. When the grassroots is motivated, informed, educated, activated, taking action, taking back the government, because it's we the people, we're the sovereign. You know, it's like constitutional education here. That's when we're winning.
Well, I want you to know, too, that you can use this program on the archive. This is archived, what, in about 5 minutes, Liam, after
yep.
we're done?
Yep.
10 minutes, he said. You can use our archive, and it goes on forever and ever, and you can send this out to everyone you know on Earth. And we love the idea of our podcast being able to be shared by the guests we have on, not so much about our program here, but about the message you've brought, which has been absolutely amazing. We have about 4 minutes here, my friend, so
sure.
Take us home, brother.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't want to call it an ad because it was really just information. I appreciate the fact that you want me to share the podcast. I will. I tried to have a website for a while, but I'm hated by so many people around the world that I just could never keep my website up. It was always attacked. So I post like crazy on social media. I post on Facebook. That's Douglas G. Frank is my name on Facebook. I post on Telegram. That's Follow the Data with Dr. Frank. I post on Frank Social, on Truth Social, and Rumble, all over the place. I got about 50,000 direct followers every day. So what I'll do is, as soon as you post this, I'll take the link and put it on all my social media as well. So
absolutely.
People need to know that that's how they can track what I'm doing. You know, and I'm always traveling the country. So, you know, I think I'm going to be in Orange County in a week and a half. I'll
cool.
be back in California. I've been there a lot lately, trying to help you guys out in California.
Yeah.
I'm originally from there.
Okay. And that's right. You're originally, like you said, your parents came from Shasta County, huh?
Yeah, my father grew up in Shasta. My mother grew up in Redding. And, in fact, while I was there in Redding, we drove past my grandma's house, and it brought back a lot of old memories.
There you go. That's awesome.
Still the same. My grandpa was the head of the Shasta Trinity Forestry Department, Forest Service, while he was alive there.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I have a lot of roots there.
That's awesome.
So I'm rooting for you guys.
well,
come back home once in a while.
Yeah, well, we are going to get you out again. That's for sure. That's for positive.
Yeah.
What we'd love to do is be able to have something a little bigger here in Shasta County.
Sure.
You know, it'd be nice if we could get we have Rachel Hamm. I don't know if you know her or not. She's coming on our podcast. We also do a podcast, and we have Rachel coming on October the 10th. Yes?
Yes. I believe it is, yep.
The nice thing about our podcast is we're able to break down 5-minute segments, 3-minute segments, and get them out everywhere. In fact, I sent you an email a couple of days ago. And about someone who we had on. But it would really be great to basically have some sort of seminar here. You know, we'd love to get Mike Lindell out here. I'll just be blunt about it. And
yeah, of course.
You have been amazing. So any way that we can get some sort of contact would be great, because I really believe that there's something happening here in Shasta County that is far and above anywhere else, maybe in the United States, but for sure in California. So, Doc, you've been amazing, as
yes.
usual.
Thank you.
Bless you. We love you. Thank you for all you do for everybody. It is such a selfless act. And we'll be talking soon, my friend.
Yes.
Be well, gentlemen.
You too.
And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.